And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan, of course, in with you for the next few minutes. It's our time with Dr. Nick Neupower, of course, president with Butler County Community College. Always an honor to talk with you, Dr. Neupower. How are you?
Oh, well, thank you, Tracy. It's my honor to speak to you again and to your wonderful listeners. Doing well, all things considered, so thank you for asking.
So there will be a day that you and I start a conversation off not talking about COVID-19. But until that happens, I'm sorry I have to ask you again. But it is important to keep updated on what BC3 is happening. And so what are you doing right now? What's your stance with COVID-19?
Yes, thank you, Tracy. And, of course, was March 11th at 2 o'clock. I'll never forget that day nor that time that we kicked into a COVID response, and we have been adapting ever since. And when we adapt, very important conversations with county leaders. I think our commissioners are, again, doing a great job. It would be peer presidents, community college sector, have those conversations quite often, and frankly, even conversations with the governor, Secretary of Ed, Deputy Secretary of Ed, and the Department of Health. And that's very important. There's a lot that's hitting the news, radio station, newspapers, social media, but we have the direct link to these very important individuals. And with that said, we have modified our non-instructional staffing plan. Non-instructional staff, of course, would be those who would not be in the classroom teaching our terrific students. You may recall that our fall model was based on the last 3 weeks of classes and 1 week of one week of finals that we would go to remote learning. And boy, did we nail that with the big spike that's going on with COVID-19. So shortly before Thanksgiving, we made that shift. We end the semester that way. Frankly, we will start the spring semester in remote, even for our face-to-face classes. And then that means that we will have about 11 weeks where our campuses will be cleared of students and faculty. Certainly, students might pop in to get wireless connection, meet with advisors and faculty members coming to their offices, but for the most part, we're all clear along those lines. So our non-instructional staff, we've gone back to what we're calling a yellow modified phase. Most recently, we had all offices open, certainly a scaled-down level of staffing in those offices. Now in our yellow modified, we have essential staff who are here. Maximum capacity in their offices would be 50%. We still have the sign-ins. We've added temperature taking. We don't have the requirement that all offices are open, only those that are essential. And we do put financial aid enrolling students in the essential category. We'll be riding that through until our winter break, which will be shortly before the Christmas holiday. And then we will ride that through winter break. And then we'll have a larger decision to make when we come back to the new year for the non-instructional staff. But folks have just been so supportive, really keeping their masks on, following the guidelines for temp taking, signing in for buildings. And yes, I can't wait until we get to the day where we're not talking about COVID. But frankly, from March 11th at 2 p.m. until today and moving forward, I'm just so proud of how our college community has responded.
Now, I could ask you, how was your college winter session? And of course, we could go into the COVID-related response. But if that being aside, since you just talked about COVID and BC3, how is your winter session going?
Well, would you believe this is hot off the press? Remarkably, our winter enrollment is up 75.97%.
Wow.
Unbelievable that we have 271 students who are frankly still enrolling for classes. And at the end of our winter session last year, we had 154 students. So our winter session, students can still sign up, register at bc3.edu. Students can earn up to 6 credits over a 5-week period that starts December 14th to January 20th. We not only have our BC3 students who utilize this to get ahead, but also guest students who might be back from their senior university over the winter. Tracy, I think we mentioned this in our conversations previously, back in the day when you were an undergrad at Clarion, or me as an undergrad at Penn State, it was a traditional fall, winter break, spring, and then summer model, and summer was either you know, working or perhaps taking a class or two. That is no longer the case. There are different sessions that are offered not only within the fall semester, three different 5-week sessions in addition to the 15-week session. We offer winter session. We offer a number of offerings within the 15-week semester in the spring. We're enrolling students for the spring, so folks can find out more information on bc3.edu, as well as different start and stop times in the summer. We are just so incredibly pleased with this fantastic enrollment for the winter, and it's really not too late at this point for the listeners to check out bc3.edu to sign up for those classes.
And I would love to know if that's part of a trend, but I know you're going to have to go through a couple of different sessions to know if it is a trend upward or if you had just a good winter session. So we'll just hope for a good trend upward and that success continues with the enrollment. How can people enroll, by the way? I know we'll ask you this again as we go along, but what's the best way to contact BC3?
Certainly our website. That's the face for the college as a whole, and there are different links to different schedules for winter, for spring. Frankly, with any crisis situation, there are some things on the back end that will end up improving. And I would say that our use of technology for online advising would be one of those. So we give students the opportunity, of course, appropriate social distancing and with masks for face-to-face, but frankly, it is our virtual advising sessions, not only with our counselors, but also in admissions, that will give students the opportunity to register not only for winter classes, but spring classes, perhaps aligning curricula with BC3 and the senior institution, making sure that there is an ease of transfer, that classes are taken in sequence, so either face-to-face or utilizing the technology.
Dr. Nick Neupower with us, president with Butler County Community College, and you have a lot of great partnerships, and I know you do partnerships in this area, but something that's really exciting is your partnership with the Philadelphia School District. And when you said that to me, I went, you mean Philly, like the other side of the state, Philly. And, I mean, what other Philly is there, right? And talk about that partnership that you have now with the school district there in Philadelphia.
Thank you so much, and there's no question going forward, 2020 to 2021, it is all about partnerships and collaboration. And as a community's college, I believe we do that better than anyone, whether it be donor support, partnership with senior institutions for transfer, or even this unique partnership with the School District of Philadelphia. The school district sought proposals last fall from organizations and institutions to provide tutoring services. BC3 was awarded a one-year, $100,000 contract, and here's where our tutoring comes into play. It is with our Praxis preparation program, which is under our education department, and it is working with non-certified educators in the school district who are working under one-year emergency permits to take content examinations as required by the State Department of Ed for Instructional 1 certification. School district employees with bachelor's degrees in other fields other than education and others who serve as an emergency certified educator need to take these tests that would result in ultimate certification. So we are helping these folks pass their licensure for their certification. And some of the school district's 8,500 teachers will also seek to obtain additional content area certification, in which we are helping. Over the past, I've heard that there is an overabundance of teachers in our Commonwealth, and that may have been the case not long ago, but we are on the other end of that. You look at some of the decisions that school districts need to make related to COVID. Some of that will correlate that if teachers are out either with the virus or quarantining, that they don't have the ability to hire the proper amount of substitute teachers. You look at the demographics. High school enrollments are declining, which means college enrollments are declining, which means that there are less candidates that are coming out of teacher education programs. And I'd say within the last decade, that wasn't the case, particularly in Pennsylvania. So this Praxis Preparation Program that we have, Professor Annie Lindsay, Dr. Zagnello, and our other great staff in our education department is really meeting a need from a state perspective to help the teacher ed candidates, and not even those who majored in education, but because of the shortage, those who have majored in other areas pass these important certification tests and then get in the classroom. And now, of course, that's more important than ever before.
When you talk about an overabundance of educators, that's going to lead me into the other side of that. I know you were talking about we're on the other side of that coin, but what about the retirees? I know you're saying goodbye to a lot of different folks at BC3 this year. Talk about that.
Yeah, and it is with mixed emotions. So we'll go glass half full part of it first, and that would be so delighted that individuals, generally with health intact, have reached a point in their careers after busting their butts, being pioneer proud for our wonderful college, are ready for that next phase in their lives. And the glass half empty, of course, is we're losing a lot of experience. Believe it or not, list of about 12, I think 14 retirees had an average of 23 years of service to our wonderful college, and collectively had 303 years of service to BC3. That's significant because according to the U.S. Department of Labor's Bureau of Labor Statistics, frankly, the highest median tenure for someone working in a place nowadays is 5 years, and ours was 23. Among the retirees, and I'll just highlight, actually I'll mention all very quickly, Natalie Kitsko basically worked at the college since the very beginning. She was a graduate of our first class here at BC3, then 52 years of BC3 working in records and registration. Michelle Jameson, associate director of our BC3 Education Foundation, just did a phenomenal job of scholarship endowment and was a main reason why our foundation has flourished over the years. Retiring at the end of this academic semester will be Dr. Kathy Wood, 34 years in humanities, social sciences in the phys ed area. Katie Schurter in our Academic Center for Enrichment, 34 years. Individuals with over 20 years, Professor Judy Early Childhood, 28 years. Joyce Voland, Office Support and Business Learning Center, 23 years. Katie Berdura-Duke, our Hospitality Coordinator, nearly 21 years. And other individuals who retire between 10 and 20 years, Amy O'Leary, Records and Registration, Larry Stock, well-known in the community, BC3 Cultural Center, 19 years. Jim Spafford, Custodian, 15 years. Tracy Hack, more than 14 years, Coordinator of Community Leadership Initiatives. Pam McCullough, a staff accountant, 15 years. And Sally Leonard, a custodian, for 13 years. Interestingly, all live in Butler County, and I appreciate the opportunity to spend some time going over each of their names because they each were very important to us being ranked the top community college in the Commonwealth 5 different times.
Will you be looking to fill those positions, or would you use those empty positions to help balance the budget?
A little of both, but frankly, I'm transparent that it's more the latter, frankly. And that is, these are very unique budgetary times, and we are not filling all of the positions. As a matter of fact, we're taking our time on some, and there was one individual that I failed to mention who's a very important individual, and that is Ruth Purcell. So we'll utilize Ruth as an example. Ruth, the executive director of the BC3 Education Foundation, phenomenal job, again, in the foundation side of the house. And I will be taking over as the interim executive director of the BC3 Education Foundation. There have been some adjustments within the staff. So for several months, will intentionally take a little breather in terms of hiring Ruth's replacement. We'll go out with a national advertisement. Certainly, there will be some pressure on everyone to continue the great work of Ruth and Michelle, but that is intentional because along with that delay, the college will benefit from a bit of a cost savings. We've elevated some part-time folks to a full-time capacity, so that meant that they were already on the payroll, a little bit more money to their salary and benefits, but overall, that would be a cost-cutting measure for the college. We estimate that through the end of this academic year, these retirements, even with the incentive, will generate about 500 to 5.25, let's say, savings to the college. And moving forward, even with the different replacements and the moves for next year's budget, we think that this will save about 900,000, give or take a little, to help us with the budget. So very important, very strategic, but these are no question, big losses for the college.
Did you ask them to retire, or did they decide to retire on their own?
No, it was an incentive, and the incentive supported by the Board of Trustees. Let the Board of Trustees know what the plan would be going forward, that we would not be filling these positions. We had an estimate on how many would take it. Remarkably, I think our prognostication was between 10 and 12, and from a lot of different units at the college, different unions, as well as administrators, again, I believe that we ended at 14. So I appreciate the support by the Board of Trustees, part of a larger plan, and these individuals did take advantage of a retirement incentive.
Dr. Neupower, I want to go in a different direction before I let you go. I'm looking at the time, and I know you have to go elsewhere today. One thing I want to make sure that we mention, because it is the season, right, for the Butler Health System, is the Caring Angel Basket Program. And I'm just wondering what your involvement was this year, especially with your nursing program.
We love partnering in the community, particularly with a group like Butler Health Systems, who have been so good to the college over the years, or just up to their years in COVID-related stuff. Our nursing program works with Butler Health System, and Mr. DeFurio is on my board. So our nursing students donated money for the purchase of gifts or even collected gifts to be placed in a basket that will be raffled on Thursday to help Butler Health System Foundation Caring Angel basket raffle. And we've donated PPE very early on in the pandemic to Butler Health System. Butler Health System returns the favor and then some with clinical opportunities for our students. So just another great example of how well our college partners with such a great organization like Butler Health System.
And last point I want to bring up as I'm talking to you today, news had broke this week, and it's sad news because it's about Caitlin Kaufman. And as we reported this week in our news department, she was formerly of Butler. She worked in Tennessee, but she at one time went to BC3. Did you know her? She passed away. Apparently she was killed while she was in Tennessee. But what are your thoughts on Caitlin?
This is heartbreaking, and ironically and very sadly, this is our second nursing graduate who lost her life tragically in the state of Tennessee. The other was maybe a couple of years ago with Sarah Kucinich, you may recall, was killed in a traffic-related accident. And Caitlin, formerly of Shakora, she did pass away, lost her life tragically on Thursday evening. Ironically, while she was driving to a Nashville hospital where she worked as a nurse. She graduated from BC3 in 2018 with an Associate of Applied Science in Registered Nursing. She graduated from Butler Area Senior High School, and she represented what's a growing trend here at the college, actually went away to Clarion University. Tracy, that's my alma mater and yours. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin graduated in 2016 with a degree in liberal studies. And then also, as I understand it, from California University of PA in athletic training. She competed in diving at Clarion University, and then after all of that, ended back at BC3 to get an associate's degree. I didn't know Caitlin very well personally. I remember her from our nursing pinning ceremony a couple of years ago, an infectious smile, just absolutely beautiful smile, just had a poise about her. Spoke with some of our administrators and faculty in the Schaefer School of Nursing who remembered her that way as well. Her mother recently retired from the college not long ago, so we know Caitlin's mother in that capacity, and we are grieving here. There's no question about it. That legacy, just like Sarah's, will live on forever. We've already had some people who have reached out to the BC3 Education Foundation to do something in Caitlin's honor, and I'm sure that as time goes on, in short order, we'll allow opportunities for the college community and community as a whole to donate in Caitlin's honor.
And just as a reminder, there is a GoFundMe page, folks. If you've heard us talk about that this week, you can go to butlerradio.com, and a GoFundMe link is in our story. So you have to call up the story first, and then you'll find the link. But there is a GoFundMe page that has been developed there. And then also, bank officials with Next Tier Bank said that you can drop off donations there as well at any location. So many different ways to be involved in that. So we appreciate your thoughts on that, Dr. Neupower. We are out of time, so I just want to say thank you as always. And as always, any final thoughts you'd like to share with us?
No, just a great appreciation for the fine work that you do, Tracy, and frankly, our local media. Well, we are blessed with the radio station and the Butler Eagle. I really mean that. I don't know if I mentioned before, in my study of economic development, what happens in some smaller Rust Belt cities in western Pennsylvania is that when you and I were growing up, Tracy, there could have been a local newspaper, a local radio station, and even a local hospital. And let's take Elwood City, where I'm from, as an example. We lost our radio station, we lost our hospital, and the Elwood City Ledger is a shell of what it used to be, kind of under the direction of the Beaver County Times. And that's not the case here in Butler County, and specifically the city of Butler. We're blessed with a top-ranked community college, top-tier university, thriving hospital, fantastic radio station, as well as the Butler Eagle. And I want you to know that I don't take any of that for granted, and I'm hoping that the listeners don't either. We are blessed here. And with that said, I hope you, the radio family, and everyone out there has a great holiday season. Thanks again for the opportunity.
Dr. Nick Neupower, president of Butler County Community College, thank you for your kind words, and thank you once again.